when you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you accepted Him as your mediator, as your high priest, as your everything. Mm-hmm. He called you. He spoke over you. The Word ministered to you. He called things that be not as though they were, and they are. That's right. And you are what He called you to be.
Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons invite you to join them as they discuss the reality of redemption, understand who you are in Christ, and how valuable you are to God.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to tell you something. You're going to be glad you came today. I can tell you that. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word.
Thank You, Lord.
Lord, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, the eyes and the ears of our spirit. By Your Spirit,
we turn
ourselves over and into the hands of the Holy Ghost, our teacher. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jeremy, thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
I know how tremendously busy you and Sarah are, and I remember many years ago when Gloria and I first started, I was your age when I first got into this ministry. I had one more child than you got, but it don't make any difference whether it's one or two. It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's all day, every day.
That's true.
And I know, I remember, but I did not have the in-depth and insight that you have. I want to say this before we get any further into this, because we need to hear this. Young people, you need to listen to me right now. This idea, well, I need to go out and make it on my own. We don't need to hear another make it on your own, because you're going to spend a lifetime learning what somebody else already knows, dumb. Listen, forgive me for calling you dumb, meathead. But anyway, now, the Bible model is this. Every generation should take everything that they've learned from their parents and then build on that. You don't need to be learning it again. My goodness, you never get anywhere. It's just over and over and over again. So you build on top of that. You knew more at 18 years old than I did when I went in this ministry. Now that's... But you took that then and built on it. Well, I didn't quit learning when you were 18 years old. And you're still building on that as we go. Now, as you come up here, little Justice will take what you know and he'll build on top of that. And each generation builds on top of that.
That's
My
true.
Goodness sakes, man, the kingdom then is expanding and building.
Yeah.
Which is as it should be.
Absolutely.
And I remember back then, man, I wanted to preach night and day. I tried it. It liked to kill me because I didn't rest for 10 years. Uh-huh. It was a stupid thing to do. I didn't know any better. And I thought I could just take the Word and just go nearly 24 hours a day. You can't do that, because Jesus told them, they got all excited about their ministry.
Yeah,
he said,
right.
No, come back here.
That's
you need
right.
to take off and rest here. Few
yes,
days.
Did.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, thank you for coming in here.
Oh, this is our honor.
And doing this broadcast with me, and the times that you've coming here and giving me an opportunity to rest and just taking the broadcast.
It is a privilege and an honor. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now let's get into the reality of redemption.
Yes, Praise the Lord. You know, we've spent a couple of days now establishing something that we had to, and I'll say this again, redemption and studying this, it is foundational, but not foundational in the sense that you can talk about it once and then move on. It's foundational in the sense that it affects everything, everything we preach, everything you hear, everything you listen to.
Every decision you make ought to be made based on that.
You can't, I mean, take a message on, you know, having a strong home life, a strong family, being a good husband, a good wife, having kids that love the Lord. If you don't understand what took place in the exchange, there's no such thing as a good home life. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a strong family without knowing that you are a part of the strong family.
That over there in 2 Corinthians 5, you mentioned it a couple of days ago. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God?
Yeah.
I sang a song about the righteousness of God, and every Christian disc jockeys wouldn't play it. Why? No reality of redemption.
Right.
No reality of that exchange. We're just unworthy. We're just little worms. We're just nothing this and nothing that. No, you're not. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you accepted Him as your mediator, as your high priest, as your everything. Mm-hmm. He called you. He spoke over you. The Word ministered to you. He called things that be not as though they were, and they are.
That's right.
And you are what He called you to be.
Yes, you are.
And when you, that comes into everything. I had the Lord say to me, Jeremy, years ago, I just realized these things. I learned them from Brother Hagin, and then I later began to study E.W. Kenyon's work and so forth. And makes a lot of traditional Pentecostal, evangelical people make them mad at you, but I don't care. It's the Word of God, and it's why Jesus did what He did.
Yeah.
And I heard this. Become God inside-minded. I thought, God inside-minded, what does that mean? Begin to realize it's the Father within that does the works. That's what Jesus said. Religion has Him way off out here somewhere. No, He came. He's in here. And think about Him all the time. He's in here all the time. I walked around for a long, long time with my hand right here. He's in my spirit. This represents my brain, my mind. We have the mind of Christ, but it comes out of here.
Yeah.
Now, I walked around, and I still do this from time to time. I'll put my hand right here to listen here instead of here. Get my mind off of this out here. And do it all the time until you renew your thinking. I am redeemed. I've been delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That don't happen after I die and go to heaven. If that hadn't happened already, when you die, you ain't going to heaven.
That's right.
This is right now. And develop this. God inside-minded, redeem-minded, righteousness-minded. I am the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
And after a while, as you begin to think that way, it changes everything.
Yeah.
You begin to see things in a whole different light.
You see them in the light of the redemption.
Ah, yeah. And then what? You walk in the light
as He is
in the light.
Yeah. Or walking in the same light that He is and that He's in. Yeah.
And light is not just insight, it's also power.
Yeah.
It is the fundamental power of everything that we see.
You ever had somebody come to you and explain a situation and say, this is what happened and this is what they said and this is what she said and he said and so on. You form an opinion based on that. But what happens when the other side of that party comes in and says, well, this is what happened. And you get a whole new set of evidence.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, it'll change the way you think in light of.
Then you get you ever to see. See,
well, that's an expression we use a lot. Oh, well, this changes
in
everything.
In the light of this. Yeah, that changes.
Well, God, in the light of redemption, change the whole way you think about it. See, religion or tradition would form opinions in you. You take somebody else's experience, and that's what tradition is. Tradition, by definition, is me giving something to you, and you living based on what I gave you. That's tradition. And taking somebody else's opinion, somebody else's experience, and saying, and them saying, this is who God is, this is what God does, and you form an opinion.
Oh, okay.
But when you get into the Word, and if you have preconceived ideas about God, but you want to know who He is, you want to know for yourself, if you will require of yourself to look at the plan of redemption, and it's not hard, it's the Bible. You would be hard-pressed to open the New Testament anywhere and not find redemption on that page. Because it's the exchange that took place all the time.
Here is an excellent example of this. If you were to ask most people, most particularly preachers and Bible teachers and so forth, people that are involved all the time in these things, and you'd say, tell me about serving Jesus. Is it easy or is it hard? Well, I'll tell you this, ain't nothing easy about it, brother. Right. Now, this is tough. I mean, when you're serving Him, it's more, I don't know, yeah.
Right.
That isn't what He said.
Absolutely not.
Well, but will get you killed, brother. Mm-hmm. But He said, learn this of me.
My yoke is easy.
My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now,
what did He say right before that? Come to me, all you who labor
and are
who are working for it, you're burdened down by this law and its requirement of you and these unjust religious people who stack even more weight on top of that. Come to me and I'll give you rest.
I'll give it to you, brother.
It's a gift. You can't earn your rest from Him.
No.
It has to be a gift. You can't do it
without coming to Him, and you can't do it without receiving it.
That's right.
When you come.
And if you don't, you will be heavy laden.
Yeah, you will.
You'll be under a burden. It'll be heavy on you all the time. You'll always constantly be trying to measure up. You'll be constantly trying to impress God and say, God, can I have this? Look what I've done. I've done this. I've said this. I've gone to church. I've given this. And He appreciates all those things, but He cannot bless you based on those grounds.
No.
He can't. Uh-uh. He cannot do it. The only way He can is if you will rest and let Him do through Jesus what He's already done.
Now, how do you do that? I really learned something some years ago. When I was a little boy, all the way up through my adult years, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep when I was a little baby. I didn't sleep when I was a child. They'd put me to bed around 9 o'clock at night. I'd lay there till 2 or 3 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And I had to learn how to, once I got into the Word of Faith, I had to learn how to go to sleep by faith. And I did learn it. I learned it from 127th Psalm, where He gives His beloved rest. And I thought, wow, I got to looking up the word beloved. And I found out I'm my Father's beloved.
Yeah.
So I had to begin to think of the reality of being His beloved. And I've met people that didn't want to say that. They'd say, well, I'm in the beloved. No. God so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son.
Yeah.
So I began to say that. And He gives His beloved sleep. Well, I was laying there one night right after I started doing that. And I was determined I'm going to do this every night. I'm going to develop going to sleep by faith and getting up by faith. So I lay there and He gives His beloved sleep. Okay, I believe I receive sleep. I am my Father's beloved. Anytime now.
Yeah.
I caught myself saying it. It's the Holy Spirit helped getting me over on that side. It was so important that my whole makeup had changed because I had spent 40 years without any sleep. to speak of. Sometimes several days and then go to sleep for a day and a half and wake up tired as I was when I went to sleep. I said, I am my Father's beloved. Oh, He loves me. And I heard myself say, I receive the gift. Oh, mm-hmm. That's what it said. He gives His beloved sleep. That's what sparked this in me a moment ago when you said that. I said, ah, I receive the gift of sleep. And I thought, wow, that's great. I heard myself say then, I'm sound asleep right now. I was wide awake when I said that. I said, I'm sound asleep right now. I am fast asleep. Now, how many times have you heard the term, well, I look at that little fella, he's fast asleep.
Yeah.
And I got thinking, what does that mean? I'm fast asleep. Well, that means he's deeply asleep. Well, the word fast don't mean that.
Right.
The word fast means quick.
Yeah.
And I thought, duh.
Sleep quick.
Yeah. I go to sleep quick, man.
Yeah.
And I said it. I'm wide awake. I said, I'm sound asleep right now. I am fast asleep. Jeremy, within 30 seconds, I was asleep. And the next thing I knew, it was morning.
Praise God.
I have been doing that every night, all the time. But I had to step over the faith line. Mm-hmm. And make that a thing that was behind me. Mm-hmm. I'd stepped on over and gone on by faith.
Yeah.
Now, if you're gonna, and I've done this. I come to Jesus. I said, "Sir, I'm here as per instruction in the Word, and I receive the peace that you promised me.
Mm-hmm.
I receive the gift of peace." I receive easy. You are easy. And my burden is light. Mm. Praise God. It's so easy serving you. Thank God it's easy.
Yeah.
You just put it right across the line and you begin to say that. Most people want something to happen and then they say it.
Right.
That's like walking up to the stove and say, "Stove, give me some heat and I'll put in the wood."
Right.
No, you put the wood in there. Now you have something to ignite whatever it is you're wanting. This is the key to redemption.
Mm-hmm.
You call things that be not as though they were, but now you have to receive the fact that He called you before you ever were. And you are, as far as He's concerned. If He calls you asleep, then you are.
Yeah.
Well, when I say, I am, you're gone, see? Well, this faith principle bothers people.
Yeah.
They want to wait and say it later. That's because that's what the natural mind does, because it's impressed by what it sees or by what it feels or both.
And that's the problem with the statement, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? Why, if He can do this?
He's rested.
The problem with that is no revelation of redemption, because redemption is done. It's done. And if you continue to ask God, why don't you do what it shows one of two things. Either one, you don't know what He's done, or two, you know what He's done and you don't have an honor for it.
Say that, because that's big, man.
If you're continually asking God, why don't you do this? God, if you can, why don't you do it? It means one of two things in your life. Number one, it can mean that you don't know what He's done. And it's so simple to find that out. We just looked at a couple of verses. Jesus made Himself a ransom for you.
Yeah.
And when you begin to meditate on that, you see what He's done.
What He's already done.
And then, but if... Once you find that out and you continue to ask God, why don't you do? That's even more dangerous, because that means you have a total lack of honor for what He's already done.
Oh, Jeremy, that's...
So if all of this is key...
I want to tell you something here. One day I was... I was heavy, and all, and it came, the devil got to me with it because I was tired, and I was, you know, and I let my mind go to getting out of hand, and it wasn't but for a little while there. But man, I'm telling you, it was heavy on me, and there were things that I come up short in, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to finish that and complete that and different things. And I was talking to Gloria about it. Jeremy, she turned and looked at me, and she said, Kenneth, I find no fault in you. It just wilted me. The love in her eyes, the love in her voice, I find no fault in you. She knows every foul up about me, man. I mean, she's lived with me for 50 years nearly, 49 years this year. And she knows, she knows the real me, she knows. But she said, I find no fault in you.
Yeah.
The grace of her love.
Yeah.
She's blinded by the fact that she loves me and she honors me.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm really, you know, I just fell over into her love,
yeah.
And I realized, oh Jesus, He finds no fault in me.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that, it dawned on me. You know what? How many times have we found fault in Him? Well, He didn't do that for me. Why did He do that? Somebody else didn't do it for me. I just don't understand why these things don't work. I just don't know. I tithe, I do all. Oh, you're the big one here, right?
Right.
But that's not the way the natural mind thinks. The natural mind is when you start feeling sorry for yourself, it doesn't work right. Jesus, oh, my Heavenly Father, I find no fault in you, sir. Mm-hmm. If anybody got any fault here, it's me.
Yeah.
But then He'll come right back and He'll say, Sonny boy, I find no fault in you.
Yeah.
I love you. I gave myself for you.
Yeah.
Now get over it. Get on over here in the love. That's grace. And that's mercy.
It absolutely is.
And that's kindness. And that's wonderful. I don't care if you're on death row, brother. It ain't the murder that'll send you to hell. It's resisting Jesus as your Savior to send you to hell, because He's already paid for that killing.
The only way that'll ever produce in anybody's life is if you get over into 1 John chapter 3 and begin to behold the love. Behold it. Look at it. Meditate on it. Get to where you can see it better with your eyes closed than you do with your eyes open.
Do you
open.
Spend more time in that book than you do any other?
Absolutely.
I do too.
Absolutely.
I read. I start off my day with a chapter a day. Now, I may go into other places as I study and so forth. But I read all these other chapters with one hand on 1 John, because I go back over there, oh, He loves me, man.
Oh. Some people sit down and read a chapter, but what you're doing is you're beholding the love.
Yeah.
Chapter after chapter. Oh, look at the love. Look at the love. Look how much He loves me over and over.
It
and
is
over.
Outstanding. How many, see, I only underline the good
part. Stuff.
Yeah. And there's 1 John 3 written over these other scriptures. Praise God.
I do.
You know what?
We're out of time.
Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
When you don't know who you really are, and you are not aware that no matter what you've done, you are somebody, life can be a nightmare. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you so that you may enjoy God's promises of health, peace, and prosperity. Jesus paid the price for you so that you could accomplish the goals God has planted in your heart. To make the truth of a prosperous life your reality, you must receive your inheritance. In Kenneth Copeland's 4-CD series, Receive Your Inheritance, Kenneth reveals you are entitled to God's promises. Health, peace, and prosperity are your right. God has an awesome plan for life. The key to it all is that you have to accept God to enjoy the benefits of His inheritance. Kenneth Copeland's Receive Your Inheritance shows you how. Free with purchase, receive the resting side of life. Jeremy Pearson's dynamic teaching on God's grace on DVD and CD. Order Kenneth Copeland's CD set, Receive Your Inheritance, today for just $20. As an added bonus, we'll send you Jeremy Pearson's teaching on DVD and CD called The Resting Side of Life. These are two great resources that reveal God's promises and lead you into His rest. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies online. For these and other ministry products, go to kcm.org.
Now, if you have never received Jesus as Lord of your life, or if you have, and this is a problem in your life, I want you to listen very, very carefully now to what the Scripture says. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My goodness, whosoever. I remember, Jeremy, my life had just gone down and down and down, and I was so deceived and beat up, and just, I hated me and just about everybody else I knew. And I came across whosoever. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever. And then I found the Scripture that God died for the ungodly. My Lord, that's me. I qualified big time for that. Those Scriptures are so important. Now, you pray this with me today. Pray it out loud where you can hear it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Pray this. Oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Just what you said.
Just what you said.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you, sir.
I receive you, sir.
I thank you that my sins are forgiven and wiped away.
I thank you my sins are forgiven and wiped away.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Right now.
Right now.
Because you said so.
Because you said so.
Not because of what I feel.
Not because of what I feel.
That'll come later.
That comes later.
But because you said so.
Because you said so.
In Jesus' name I pray it.
Jesus' name I pray.
And receive it.
And receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And the Scripture said, He has delivered us from the power and authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom
so
of His
good.
Love.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow. Praise God. Until then, you remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org, a book, He Did It All for You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The exchange is not my sweat for His blessing. That's not the exchange.
No, that's
the exchange is this. I will rest and put my faith in Jesus, and He in return will give me everything that He already bought and paid for.